All right, so we heard all of Acts 1 and 2, and honestly, there are many, many sermons in those two chapters, and there have been many, many sermons preached out of those two chapters over many, many hundreds of years, I'm sure. So we're going to focus this morning on a couple of things. One is the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the process of being guided by the Holy Spirit, what we often call in the church discernment. So first I want to make note that I don't know if you noticed this in Acts 1 and 2, but the Spirit is mentioned quite a few times. Did that come to your attention? In fact, 11 times in two chapters. 11 times. Clearly, the Spirit is important in the events that happened during these two chapters. The Spirit is the active participant. The Spirit is the difference maker. And I believe there are two questions kind of at the beginning and the end of what we read today that show just what kind of a difference the Spirit makes. So I hope you still have your Bibles open because I'm going to refer to it a lot this morning. I'm not necessarily going to read all of them, but it'll help you kind of refer back to where I'm at. So the first question is in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. First, Jesus tells them that in a few days, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they don't know what this means. And then Acts 1, 6 says that they say this curious thing to Jesus. As a result of what he just told them, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" That's their question. And then Jesus answers them, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth," right? Jesus' answer to this question teaches me something important. It is possible to follow Jesus and still ask the wrong questions. The disciples were not asking the right question. They were asking about political power. They still saw the kingdom as an earthly kingdom, and they still want to be the powerful ones in God's earthly kingdom. They were still not getting Jesus and his kingdom. Even after he died and rose again, they were asking the wrong questions and seeking the wrong things. And they were following Jesus, don't get me wrong, right? They followed him right up to the end. They saw him die, and then here he was in front of them, risen again, and still they were asking the wrong questions. But do you know what made the difference? It was right there in Jesus' answer. What is it that will change them? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come to them and give them power, and the Holy Spirit will make them witnesses. The Holy Spirit will change them. The Holy Spirit will lead them to ask the right questions. And if you will turn then to Acts chapter 2, I believe we see the question that the Holy Spirit will lead them and will lead us to ask. It is right there in verse 37. After the Holy Spirit has come to the disciples, after Peter has preached his sermon, and after all the crowds have gathered and listened, the whole crowd asks this question. They say to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Do you see that as a very different question than what the disciples asked at the beginning? This is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. We lay aside our own agendas and simply ask God what he wants us to do. The difference the Holy Spirit makes, I will stop telling God what I think he should do. And I will likely not know what God is going to do. Jesus said that, right? You will not know the days or the hours or who will be given authority. Instead, I will be willing to do whatever God asks me to do, and I will have what I need to do it. I will have what I need to do what God asks me to do. That was Jesus' answer, wasn't it? Even when they asked the wrong question, he gave them the right answer. He said, "The Spirit will give you power, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." So how do we get from the first question to the second question? How do we get from our plan to God's plan? In Acts 1 and 2, it seems to me that it goes like this. And I've got it on the screen for you, so the whole thing all at one time, so you don't have to follow along, and you can write down what you want. You can follow as you want. In Acts 1 and 2, to me, this process of moving from my agenda to God's agenda has these steps. Starts first with, they did ask a question, right? Which tells me, you know, it's okay to ask the question even if it's the wrong one. At least we should go to God and ask, right? So discernment starts with asking the right, asking a question. The second step in that process relates to what we've been teaching about the last few weeks. Two is to know your commission and to be in community. Jesus reminds them again of what their commission is. Now, he had already given them a commission, right? At the end of Matthew, he had said, "Go and make disciples, and I'll be with you to the end of the age." But this time again, they ask the question, and again, he says, "Your commission, your job, your duty is to be my witnesses," right? So we have to know our commission. And then there's something really cool that happens here. It says in verses 7 and 8 and then 13 and 15, they were in community. Remember what it said there? They all went a Sabbath day journey and they gathered in this room. And they were together, all of the disciples and the women and Jesus' mother and his brothers, they were together. And what were they doing together? In Acts chapter 1:14, what did it say? They were united in their devotion to prayer. So we ask the question. We know what our job is. We sit in community. We gather together and we pray. We're united in prayer. And then there's something else really interesting here. Sometimes we get really, people who talk about the Holy Spirit, stereotypically, I'm going to say this, the stereotype is that they kind of stay in this spiritual realm all the time, right? That all the answers will come through prayer. If we just sit in prayer all of the time, we'll know all of the things. You know, that isn't actually what happens here, is it? First they pray, and then we read that they do what they know to do. Peter stands up and he says, "You know what? I remember in Scripture what the prophecy is. The prophecy about the Messiah was that one person would betray him, and it was one of us," right? And he says, "And Scripture says that, we need to give his position of leadership to another." So this is clear. We already know something to do. So let's do that. So part of discernment is doing the things that we know we're already supposed to do. Reading Scripture, that's the clear message of Scripture, right? Where, there it is. Okay, if there's something clearly that applies to this situation, well, then let's do that. Okay? Look at the Bible and do what makes sense. And then number five, and this is the hard one for me. Okay? And this is all of really Acts 1 through 2 through 4. What is it that they're doing? They are listening and waiting for and then receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now these are all together to me. First, they listen. Who do they listen to? First, they listen to Jesus, right? He gives them something to do. He says, "Go and wait." Then they listen to each other, right? As they're gathered together, they're praying together. And then Peter has a word. Hey, this is what Scripture says. So let's listen to what Scripture says. Listen to the facts that are in front of you. This is what's happened. Peter lays it out, right? And he doesn't deny it like we all like to, right? When something bad happens, we don't really want to talk about it. We just kind of want to, like, put it aside. Peter actually names it. I like to talk about that, don't I? He names it, says, okay, here is the problem. Here is the issue that we're at. This is what I think Scripture says. So here's the facts. Here's the options of what we can do. Listening to each other, it says that they talked together about, okay, who are the people that could be the next disciple, right? They looked at who's been there. So they gathered all of their facts, their options. They listened to each other. And then it's really interesting. They prayed something. What did they pray? In verse 24, Lord, you know everyone's deepest thoughts and desires. As a board and as a staff, we've been reading through a book called Pursuing God's Will Together for almost a year now and kind of slowly processing this. And one of the things that the writer of this book says is to listen not only to the facts and the opinions and other people and to Jesus and the Scripture, but also listen to what's happening inside of you, what your thoughts and your feelings are. Are you feeling a sense of peace about this? Are you feeling uncomfortable with something? Are you feeling like I'm not ready to move forward? Try to figure out what's happening inside of you. Name that as well. And then listen to the Holy Spirit. And when you do it, you know, so often in the church, in the evangelical church especially, and in the United States America evangelical church, we want to listen to the Holy Spirit by ourselves. We want to say, God told me. But do you see what's happening here? They listened together. They listened together. And in that moment, that day, one day, when Pentecost Day arrived in verse 1 of chapter 2, they were all together in one place, and that was when the Spirit came. And they received the Spirit. And then what did they do? They did what the Spirit led them to do and empowered them to do, right? They started to speak in these other tongues, which were what other people who were gathered around in that day could understand. They spoke in other languages. They were witnesses. What did Jesus tell them they were going to do when the Holy Spirit came? He would make them Jesus witnesses. And what did he do? He made them witnesses. They were speaking. And then he specifically spoke to Peter, who stood up and said, you know, let me lay out to you who this Jesus is, right? So when the Spirit came, they did what they were empowered to do. I am pretty sure that I can tell you that none of the disciples that day thought that they would add 3,000 people to their number. I'm pretty sure I can assure you that none of them thought that they would start to speak in another language that day. And I'm pretty sure that Peter never thought that he would preach a sermon that he had not planned to preach. Right? You do what the Spirit leads you to do and empowers you to do. And there's another couple of things here. In verses 17 to 21 that I love, it says that the Spirit will come down on the sons and the daughters and the young and the old, that all of them will have a part to play when the Spirit comes. I hope that sounds somewhat familiar to you as we've been talking the last few weeks about our mission and vision that we are one people, that all of us are one people, that we all have a part to play in God's one story. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter what your first language was. It doesn't matter where you came from. The Spirit can come on all of us. And number seven, when you are doing what the Spirit leads and empowers you to do, then you ask the next question. You don't stop. You know, one of the problems in the church and in gatherings today is that I think we do something God asks us to do and we do it really well and then we just kind of stay there. Because that, hey, great, let's pat ourselves on the back. We just did a great thing for God, right? And then as we get even older, we keep looking back at that really great day that God did something great or those few years when God did something great. But when the Spirit is guiding us, we don't stop. We ask the next question. And what's the next question? What was it in verse 37? Brothers, what should we do? What should we do next? Right? And this time, we can start with more open hands. We can start more with, what's your plan, God? What do you want us to do? Rather than, this is what I want, and this is what I want you to do, God. This is, as I've talked about before, the amen, yes, hope rhythm of life. The prayer of open hands. So to go back to that first thing, the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is not an emotional thing, though sometimes we get emotional when the Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity that lives in us, that leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us to set aside our agendas, our selfish plans, our ways of doing things, and instead helps us to say, what should we do? And then the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do the things we are being led to do. That is far beyond a feeling. It is a filling. It's a filling. And when we gather together and all of us allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and give us power, that is when we can truly be the church. We can be one people living one story, God's story, and we can walk one step at a time together into the places God has for us. Just like they did in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came, the disciples and so many more became hope givers and light shiners and storytellers, right? And we can do that too when the Holy Spirit comes in us. We can be light shiners and hope givers and storytellers, and we can do it together. And beautifully, friends, we have been doing it together. As I was wrestling through this sermon last night, God gave me all these pictures in the last year, and I wish that I could share them out of my mind into your minds and hearts of the ways that young and old and all the different ethnic groups have done exactly that. I was thinking of a couple weeks ago, a little boy, maybe third grade, who his friend was having a hard time and was hiding in a room, and I was sitting with her. And that friend came three times to come and tell his friend, it's time to go. And he said it so gently. The bus is leaving. It's time to go. And the third time he came back and he carried her shoes to give to her. That was the Holy Spirit, friends, in a little third grade boy. And just this week, I heard of someone who had surgery, and his wife was sitting waiting during that surgery, and an 80-year-old woman sat for those few hours in the hospital with her. That was the Holy Spirit, right? Present, doing what you're led to do. It's the van drivers and the worship leaders and the Bible readers. It's the resource givers. It's the translators, even children who translate for adults. It's the men and women, many of you, who say, I can pray. Tell me what to pray about. I want to pray. It's the gardeners and all of us who step outside of our comfort zone when we somehow feel like maybe that's the right thing to do. It's every one of you who has said, You know, I might not be able to do this, but I can do this. And you did it. That's when you've been Jesus' witnesses. That's when you are Jesus' witnesses, and that's when you will be Jesus' witnesses. When we do it together, something even more powerful happens. Together we bring the presence of Jesus.